This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
How we doing, baby? Oh, my Lord. How about them Redbirds?
How about the Cardinals?
Man.
Hot dog.
Only 159 more to go. But they have won every game they've played so far.
They haven't just won every game. They've looked good.
They have. They've looked very, very good. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ronji on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Glad to have you with us on this Monday as we are starting at our new time, 9 o'clock. We go until 12 o'clock before the Gas House Gang gets going. Got an announcement about that. You may have already heard about it, but I will tell you about it during the show today. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to visit with Chris Saliza, political commentator. He joins the show today. Matt Pauley will join us later so we can talk about what the Redbirds did over the weekend in their opening series at Busch. And we've got a couple of folks who are with the track team, track and field team at UMSL. It's an interesting story because they have filed a civil rights complaint against the university because they have had their programs cut. So their track and field programs have completely been cut. So we have the team captains for both the men and women who will be joining us on the show today. We want you to listen on the Odyssey app. If you're not doing it already, leave us a message from the app as well. You can record a voice message and send it. Of course, we're streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, too.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
9-2 win over the Twins yesterday completes a series sweep. They have the Angels in town tonight.
And a new poll is out looking at the mayoral race here in the city of St. Louis. Kara Spencer leads with 24 points over incumbent Mayor Tashara Jones.
It's incredible numbers right now with the election just over a week away. And City SC playing on a Sunday afternoon. They drop one to Austin, 1-0.
Love to see him really charge into one. Next delivery to him is hit high and deep to right field. Did he get it? Yes, he did! Big fly, Nolan Gorman! His third hit of the afternoon. What a great start to the season for Gorman. And sometimes you just have a feeling.
So Nolan Gorman does go 3-for-4 yesterday. He ended up scoring 3 runs. And he'll be one of the fascinating players to watch throughout the season because there might be a lack of at-bats for him since they were unable to trade Nolan Arenado. But in the time that he has gotten to play, he's coming through. You just heard that one there. This team, Amy, in the first series of the season, This is their first sweep to start the season since 2006.
Since 2006, and it went well in 2006. The season did.
It sure did.
Turned out okay.
Also, the last time the Cardinals started their season 3-0 at home, that was back in 03. So this is clearly they are off to a fantastic start. It is just one series, but man, let's just ride this as long as it lasts. It could go on all year. I mean, they're not going to win every game all year, but this could be the beginning of a very good season for them. Or it could be something different than that. But right now, let's just enjoy it.
Well, you talk so much about in the middle of a season. They just need to get things going. They're just in the middle of a slump. Or, man, the bats are really hot right now. And here's the thing. The Cardinals were not hitting in spring training. And I get it. Spring training. It doesn't matter. That's why they say it doesn't matter. Because whatever happens in the regular season, game one, game two, can be very different than what you saw in Florida. And it was, but I wasn't expecting everyone to hit so well.
No.
The Cardinals were hitting. They were hitting with runners on base. They were hitting in clutch situations. And coming out of Florida, I was a little worried.
Well, you mentioned a pretty good point there. They did it in clutch situations, which last year was something they were really bad at doing with runners in scoring position. They had the worst slugging percentage in the National League, and that's not good. You have to have hits. You have to have extra base hits. You got to get doubles, triples, home runs with runners in scoring position. That's how you do big damage, and that's how you end up winning a lot of games. They were the worst at that last year, and this year, they went 10 for 31 with runners in scoring position. That's not bad. And they had a bunch of extra base hits. They had home runs. So this is what it has to look like in modern baseball if you're going to win. You have to get runners on base, and then you have to get hits when they're on base. And ideally, you have to get doubles and home runs and that sort of thing. And they just were so bad at it last year. And hopefully, this is the start of something completely different, at least the series, something completely different. I just hope it happens all year.
And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here. We're only three games into the season, and I get it, but let's have fun while we can, and maybe we'll have fun all season. But I'm kind of intrigued to follow the evolution of the Nolan Arenado conversation, because we were so hung up on, we can't trade him, and this was something of a transition year, and Nolan Arenado didn't want to go to Houston, and it turned into this whole trade conversation, and it was easy to forget that the St. Louis Cardinals with Nolan Arenado are better than the St. Louis Cardinals without Nolan Arenado. Arenado is still a star player. It's not like we were just offloading somebody, but it started to feel like that. And I get it that, like, you got to, right, like you said, have the young guys an opportunity to play. Give them an opportunity to play. But what if these young guys, as we saw this weekend, step up?
It could happen.
And then you have a Nolan Arenado veteran to kind of anchor the lineup.
But when you go into a season, and there's nothing, if that ends up happening, awesome. If this is the kind of year they have, an unexpected, playoff run team, or late in September, they are battling for the Central Division still. You know, if they're playing meaningful baseball, you keep hearing that phrase, meaningful baseball in the last couple of weeks of the season. If they are still doing that, that's great. But the expectation, understandably, going in was it's a transitional year so that we can get some of our younger players more time, let them grow, so that by next year we have a better idea of what we need and whether or not some of these players we want to keep around or give them heavy playing time. So this was supposed to be, and it might still end up being that, a year of figuring it out, which there's nothing wrong with. But if it ends up surprisingly being a winning season, well then, hell yeah, let's go. That does happen in baseball sometimes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I'm a little confused. This was this Saturday's game when Wilson Contreras ate the tape off his bat? Like, okay. How come he didn't spit it out?
I don't know.
Why did
dude.
He have to swallow it? Why don't you stick it in your jersey? Stick it in your pants?
I don't know.
Because he said, I listened to the interview afterwards. He was asked about it. He was asked about eating the tape after the game. And he said, with the pitch clock and all of that. But couldn't you have, like, stuffed it in your jersey somehow?
Well,
your pant pocket?
Sure.
Are you not allowed to spit something on the dirt?
Okay. As far as I know, you can totally do that. I don't know why he did it the way he did it.
If you watch the game, or we're watching the game, you pay attention to details. I called timeout, and then I realized that my lizard king was off the bat, so I have no timeout left, so I had to hit it. That was it. No, that was the first time. I mean, with this clock, you have to do things that out of your control, and I had to do that instead of strikeout. Well, I strike out anyways, though, but I'd rather strike out swinging than by the clock.
I don't know. Wilson, not a good enough explanation. Why didn't you put it in your back pocket?
Okay, but if
put it in your back pocket. Do not eat the tape.
The dirt, if you are out of the batter's box,
yeah,
you're not allowed to rip off a piece of tape and throw it down. Is that considered like obstruction? Is that
I've never heard anything like that. I know that there are times where if there is something like trash or whatever and it's on the ground and it's white, they try to pick it up and get it off the field because at first glance it can look like a ball.
Mm-hmm.
It could be confusing. But I don't know that a piece of tape would do that. I'm not sure. It was just instinct. And he said later it was a really bad decision.
It was a bad taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Dude, I'm like, what is he doing?
That's going to
I thought
to be
when
crap.
I saw it, yeah. I thought that it was just a thing he does instead of chewing tobacco.
How big of a piece of tape was it? I'm trying to remember.
It was enough that you shouldn't have eaten it.
Yeah. And my guess is, I don't want to be crass, but that can't be digestible. Like, that's going to come out the way
it went. Oh, it's probably going to come out, like, in a long string, yeah.
Oh, no, it's wadded up.
Like a cat ate
it. No, it's wadded up. Now you're being crude.
I'm not being crude. I didn't do anything wrong. He's the one who ate the tape.
I just don't understand. Like, stick it somewhere in your shirt, in your pants, in your pocket. I need to ask how do we not know this rule about whether or not you're allowed to toss something
down? I don't think there's
anything
there. He did it. He wasn't thinking. He ripped the tape off, and then he said, I got to eat it. I don't know why.
The only time you see that is like a spy movie.
Well, how many times have you done something where you're like, why did I just do that? You know, why did I just
all the time, but generally not.
Why did
like,
I put my phone in the fridge?
All the time, but generally not when it's like eating something. I've been like, oh my gosh, why did I just eat my key?
This text message, and you can text the show, 314-436-7900, says, I think it was just an impulse move. Baseball has been very good to me.
Wait,
yeah, I think
that
it was
the end of the text.
Yeah, that's what it said. Baseball been very good to me. I don't know if it had to have been an impulse.
Well, obviously that's what he said.
Yeah.
I want to know why it's his impulse. Is he in the CIA? Does he eat secret messages?
I don't think they do that anymore.
They do it in the movies.
It's a movie.
There are two ways to get rid of a secret message. You burn it while you hold it between your thumb and your pointer finger.
Or the shredder.
Or you eat it.
You can put it in the shredder.
It was disgusting. It was a bad taste.
Yeah. Do not eat tape. Any kind of tape.
Yeah.
Unless it's bubble tape.
Did you hear Ricky and John did bring up bubble tape?
I did
but
hear that.
But I think
that.
They hadn't heard of it before.
Well, Ricky did talk about it like he had never heard. Yes, you're right.
I want to talk
to Ricky.
He's
like, oh, they do have a thing called grape bubble tape. Like, really? It's been around for 30 years or so.
I think longer.
We had it when I was a kid. It's awesome. Let us know what you think about eating tape. 314-436-7900. I bet Wilson Contreras has a Monday regret. We are going to do Monday regrets at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tell us what you regret over the weekend or the past week or anything that's been on your mind for years and you want to get it off your chest today on Monday Regrets is the day to do it. We'll be doing that at 11. Leave us a voice message that way. On the Odyssey app, or you can send in your text, or you can call us at 11 and tell us all about it. Sean Malone, KMOX reporter, went out in a boat downtown to talk to Cardinals fans about being there for opening day, being there for the weekend series, and whether or not they feel safe coming downtown. We're going to hear what the people had to say next. 104.1 FM KMOX. Cardinals just had their opening series of the season. They won them all. They're now 3-0 on the year. They've got the Angels tonight, so it continues. By the way, they are participating on Friday. They are part of the Red Sox home opener at Fenway Park. This will be very clearly the earliest the Cardinals have ever played at Fenway and the first time they've ever been a part of Fenway's opening day. So that's really cool.
Does Fenway have a pretty spectacular opening day?
I would think so. I've never seen it. I mean, I would think they do. It's Fenway Park. It's the Boston Red Sox. So.
You know, I got to walk around Fenway, touch the Green Giant, sit in the dugout.
Green Monster?
Green Monster, sorry.
Close enough.
The green giant is the green beans.
You
like
touched the Green Giant?
Oh, I insulted.
Is that what he said?
Oh, my gosh.
Green Giant.
I touched the Green Giant. I know baseball.
I even said it's baseball, Amy.
Baseball Amy is out.
That sounds like a sexual green bean story.
And then we went to Yankees Park. You're something else, dude. That's awesome.
Idiot.
I touched the green giant.
I know, even as I said it.
How do you feel about that?
I didn't like it.
He's like, whoa.
Whoa.
Get your hand off my ankle. Okay. You're something else. So the Cardinals had their opening series over the weekend, and Sean Malone, he's what we call the intrepid. He was out and about, and he was the man on the street, and he talked to people. First of all, we just had our conversation about Nolan Arenado being part of the team, and he talked that over with Cardinals fans.
I love Nolan, so he has had a couple rough years, but I feel like he is one of the best third basemen of all time, and hopefully this is a year for him to, like, come back and have a great season.
I'm 70 years old, so I've seen a lot of great Cardinals. All they got to do is stand up and be okay. They'll be okay.
Nolan Arenado is what he is. He's a hot and cold player. We've had a lot of hot and cold players over the past couple years. I love Nolan. He's absolutely amazing. Hopefully he performs and goes forward.
I know they were kind of shopping around, but I think he's one of the best third basemen ever been.
Yeah. People are right. He is, and he's an asset to the team if he can be something closer to what he was a couple of years ago. I don't think we're ever going to get like that 900 OPS Arenado anymore, and that might be okay. They probably don't need that much, but they do need some production out of him if they're gonna win this year. So this is he got a great hand from the people. They showed their love to him, which is what you should do. You know, I know what the Cardinals' direction was supposed to be this year, and trading him was going to be a big part of that. They failed to do that. So since he's here, you might as well show him love, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like I said, a Cardinals team with Nolan Arenado is better than a Cardinals team without him. And another aspect, Ronj, during Cardinals season is we talk so much about downtown and the crime downtown, and do people feel safe coming downtown, and do people drive from the county? Sean Malone asked people, like, hey, how do you feel coming down to Cardinals games? Do you feel safe?
How do Cardinals fans feel about the state of crime in downtown St. Louis?
You go to any one of these other big cities, you have your risk, danger. I think St. Louis is actually one of the safer cities, and with the ballpark, as far as that's concerned, I think it really draws a good crowd.
I lived in New York City for 12 years, so I'm aware of space, but I feel like in general we've come to games as a family, like with little kids, and never had an issue. But you know, you have to be smart, but in general I feel pretty safe personally.
Do you care to weigh in?
Yeah, I have a six-year-old. We come to games. We just make sure that we're always walking back together as a group, and in that case, we've never had a problem.
I feel safe anywhere I go in St. Louis.
So I don't know what everybody he spoke to said, but that was at least a handful of people who said they don't feel in danger. They're careful. Mm-hmm. But I'm like that everywhere. I'm always sort of aware of my surroundings wherever I go.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, even in my own building, I kind of look around. It's just what I do.
You've got to be aware.
Right. I'm like that. But and we've talked about feeling safe downtown. I don't feel particularly in danger when I'm here. I just feel like there's not a lot going on unless there's a ball game or a hockey game or something.
When there's a Cardinals game, I feel completely safe. It's when it's abandoned. I don't want to say abandoned, but when, like, a regular work day, a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., I will feel technically less safe than walking home from a Cardinals game at night with thousands of other people. It's people. People help you feel safe. And that one of the people that Sean Malone interviewed brought up a good point. I know in other cities, some of the stadiums or the arenas are not in a great area. Because I can't remember where I was. I thought I was New York, but I wanted to walk somewhere. And they're like, that part can be a little sketch if you're walking there, which is weird in New York because I know New York is so safe. So maybe it was somewhere else. But I do feel like the way Busch Stadium is situated, the way the parking is, I feel safe going to Cardinals games.
You don't really have to walk very far.
You don't have to walk very far. You're walking through downtown. You're not walking through a sketch area.
Right. And I don't know. I rarely feel, I don't know if there's probably the one time that there was some sort of commotion outside of a pizza place. It was at Maurizio's. I think that's what it was called, which is just a couple of blocks from
here.
Enterprise Center.
Yeah,
here too. And there was some sort of commotion. I think there had been a shooting, and I was sort of in the middle of it at a traffic light. I just felt like, well, something's going on here. I didn't know until later what it was, but that was about the only time, I guess, I felt uneasy.
I think Cardinals, Cardinals games, people feel safe because there are people.
That's it. It's all about
the key. It's about people. There's so many people downtown for a game.
Everything about this city is whether or not there are people in it in the moment. And when there are, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
We just need more of that more often.
The Blues Parade. Unbelievable,
awesome.
That Blues Parade.
Awesome. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We'll take a break from Cardinals, but we do want to hear from you, your experience over the weekend. Yeah, they won, and that was great. But tell us what you think by leaving us a voice message on the Odyssey app. We'll talk some politics with Chris Saliza, commentator. He joins us next on KMOX.
Well, joining us now, as he does every Monday, is political commentator, author of the daily newsletter, So What?, independent news creator on Substack and YouTube, News Nation contributor, and former CNN and Washington Post reporter, and that would be Chris Saliza. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm so pumped after that intro.
We got your walk-up.
I am ready to go.
Excellent. Excellent. How was are you a baseball fan, Chris?
A huge baseball fan.
That's
yes,
what I thought.
Our weekend was not as good as the Cardinals weekend. The Nationals had they blew a 13 strikeout performance by Mackenzie Gore on opening day and lost because of their bullpen.
They blew a lead
on Saturday and lost to the stupid Phillies because of their bullpen. And then on Sunday, we got a great start and we won. So we are, and I say we because I am technically a member of the team.
Yeah.
We are 1-2. I know the Cardinals are 3-0. Cardinals are our second favorite team, obviously, probably my wife's first favorite team, but our second favorite team in the household. So we are watching the Cardinals, but 1-2, inauspicious beginning for our bullpen, which has been a problem for 5 years.
But on opening day, you did get Clydesdale, so that's not bad.
Yes, I mean, look, my kids have had something I never had as a kid, which is the Nationals won the World Series while they were young, and we got to go to a parade, and we've had Bryce Harper and Juan Soto and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Now, unfortunately, none of them are on our team anymore, and Trey Turner and Bryce Harper we have to face a zillion times every year because they're in the NL East with us, but they've gotten their... They've gotten more than I got as a young baseball fan. So I'm happy there. And I have to believe that the Nationals, after losing the most games of any team in Major League Baseball over the last 4 years, are turning a corner.
Well,
we can't get worse.
I hope so. It's such an interesting... Before we get to the news of the day here, which is why we have you on, I love the interesting wrinkle of the rivalry between the Nationals and the Orioles because they're about 40 minutes apart.
Yes.
And the ownerships hate each other. I was with the White Sox when the Freddie Gray riots happened. We came into town, and then they canceled the first two games of the series, and they played that final game with no fans in the building.
Yep.
That was 10 years ago. And the Orioles, I think the Nationals said, well, they could have come and played here, but the Orioles didn't even want to ask. So they just washed two games off the schedule, and they ended up losing home games because they hate the Nationals so much. It's so ridiculous.
Well, and honestly, that is better now than it used to be because that is all based on Peter Angelos, who used to own the Orioles, who has now sold to David Rubenstein, who is more of a... I think no one cares about this, but I'll briefly say there's been a contract, TV contract rights dispute between the Orioles and the Nationals since the Nationals came to Washington. It has finally been settled, so I'm really hoping we're moving beyond this. But yes, it is. It's weird to me because it's an NL team and an AL team. I mean, they're not. Yeah, I mean, with the exception of the World Series, which the Nationals haven't been close to in a while, they're not competitive, in that way. But yes, it is absolutely a thing.
All right, Chris, speaking of things that might absolutely be a thing, Wednesday, this Wednesday, April 2nd, will
Liberation Day,
when Trump imposes reciprocal dollar-for-dollar tariffs on any nation that dares to levy duties on U.S. goods. So, Chris, practically speaking, what do we know about this and what this will look like?
You know, it's amazing, Amy. We don't know as much as you might think, given the fact that it's, you know, I mean, this is something Donald Trump has been touting for a long time. You know, he had some of his trade folks on Capitol Hill last week trying to brief Republican senators and members of Congress, and there were not a lot of details given at that point. So we know what he – let me start here. What he has said is that he is going to impose a tariff on any country, a reciprocal, so the exact same level percent tariff on the same goods that any country has a tariff on U.S. goods. Now, that would be much more broad scale than what we've seen in the past, right? What we've seen so far in the administration is China, Canada, and Mexico, the U.S.'s biggest trading partners. But this would include that Brazil, India, the U.K. You know, this would be a much broader thing. And I will tell you, look, we three have talked about this. It is not as though the economic uncertainties created by tariffs and the on-again, off-again nature of how Donald Trump has used them thus far, it's not as though it hasn't had an impact. The stock market is way down. His handling, I saw an Associated Press poll this morning that has his approval of on handling the economy at 40% and his disapproval at 58%. There is already an impact here, and I guarantee whatever he rolls out, unless he says, oh, you know what, I've rethought it, we're not going to do this, it's just going to add to that uncertainty. It's going to add to inflation concerns. It's going to add to recession concerns. And, you know, I mean, it is a remarkable thing because he is driving the political prospects of his party into a bit of a ditch here because he believes that tariffs are the right way to go in the long term. But it, you know, I mean, it's a big gamble, and it's only going to get bigger this Wednesday.
He has support from people who, it seems like some people anyway, it's not everybody, but there is a significant portion of the country that no matter whatever he wants to do, they're on board. It does not matter what it is. And it's sort of evidenced when you say there's 40% who love the way he's handling the economy. Right now, the Goldman Sachs, actually it was yesterday, Goldman Sachs had raised their forecast of a recession to 35% chance that it happens in the next 12 months. It was 20% before all of this. How much political capital does he have realistically if the economy really does tank?
So, you know, Chris, I think the real question is, like, is how big is the group of people who are going to be with him no matter what? Right. Is it 43% of the country? Is it 35% of the country? Is it 30% of the country? Yeah, there is some level of people who are going to be with him because what he will say is, well, this is just Biden's economy. And they will believe that. Right. Because they will believe whatever he says. The question is how big it is. Right. If it's 30%, that's going to be a problem for him. Right. Because that means there's 70% because of math. There's 70% of people who are like, this is not great. And remember, Donald Trump won the 2024 election. There's a lot of factors that go into this, but the number I always cite to people is there were four issues asked on the exit poll. You know, which issue is most important to you? The economy, not surprisingly, was number one. One in three people said the economy is the most important issue to me. Of that group, Donald Trump won 69% to Kamala Harris's 29%. So it is not overly simplistic to say he won because people thought he would make the economy better for them. If he is not doing that, or he's making the economy worse for them, it becomes a huge problem. Not really for Donald Trump, because, and I always say, I think he's not running for a third term in 2028, but for his party, which is up in 2026. I know that feels like a long way from now, but if the economy is perceived to be doing poorly, if people feel like Donald Trump has not done what he said he would do, it's going to be a huge problem for Republicans in the midterms. And I don't know how focused he is on that and how much he's focused on sort of his four-year term and what he leaves, but I will tell you, lots of Republicans I talk to are very concerned about that.
Yeah, I just, the amount of memory holing that you have to do, because again, you know, this kind of Liberation Day, the trade agreements are so unfair. He negotiated the trade agreement. He's the one that replaced NAFTA with the USMCA, and I...
Yep.
And it blows my mind. None of this makes any sense. I know we got to move on, Chris, but I do want to ask about the whole signal gate with Pete Hegseth and so forth.
Yep.
We know about the bombing the Houthis. Is there going to be any investigation into what happened? And do you think anybody's jobs are at risk?
So on the investigation front, there's two that we know about. One is being run by Elon Musk. I will tell you, I'm not optimistic that's going to find a lot of blame, even though I think there is blame to be found. The other one that I believe will happen, but I say believe, I'm not sure. Roger Wicker, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, a Republican from Mississippi, has said he wants that an inspector general, you know, sort of the watchdog of that organization, to open an investigation to figure this out. Remember, there, of course, if Democrats controlled either the House or the Senate, they don't. But if they did, of course, we would have already had an investigation launched in Congress on this. But Republicans do. So I think there will be an inspector general investigation. How long it will take, what it will find, when will we see the results, will we see all the results? Those are all things I think we'll get something. Will we get something that really gets us to the bottom of it? I'm more skeptical. On the will someone lose their job front, if you're ranking people most likely to lose their job from this, Mike Waltz, the national security advisor who added Jeff Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, is your number one seed. Pete Hegseth is your number two seed. I'm not sure there are any other seeds. I think both of them are going to be okay for now. I will say Waltz has put himself on very shaky ground, right? If there's something else that comes out, if there's something unrelated that comes out, I think he's probably gone. But, you know, Amy, I think it's, we have to keep returning back to what's normal or what was normal before. In a situation like this in the past, Republican administration, Democratic administration, someone at a high level would have been dismissed. Donald Trump does not want to do that because in his mind, he views doing that as giving Jeff Goldberg, the journalist who he doesn't like, a win. So he's not going to do that unless he absolutely has to. But this is absolutely a break from our norms.
Yeah, and I'll just say, like, it's frustrating because here's the thing. With Hillary Clinton's emails, that was wrong. It was careless. It was compromising. I think you can objectively look and say she should not have done that.
Agree.
They should not have done this. You can't.
Absolutely not.
You can't be so hypocritical that you would look at Hillary Clinton's emails, which were wrong. I'm not justifying it. That was wrong. The private server. So were these Signal messages, which were going to disappear. I mean, it broke so many standards.
And that's the frustration I always get into with people who are super partisan. It's like you can't say one was a really big deal that disqualified her as a potential presidential candidate, and this one doesn't matter at all just because you wear the team's hat that has this one on it. You know what I mean? It's. I'll just give you, I'm not doing apples to apples, but I'll give you an example. If, let's say, there was a Republican president for the last 4 years, and he was old. This is easy to imagine because Donald Trump is old, but he was old, and there were concerns about his age and competence. And his aides all insisted he was great and amazing, and he had so much energy, and how dare you ask that about him being old. And then we saw in a debate that he was old, and there had been concerns about his age and competence internally, and they had kind of hidden him. Well, that would be a gigantic deal. So did my Democratic friends who are like, move on, no one cares about Joe Biden anymore. I'm like, if Donald Trump wasn't president anymore and he had been shown to potentially have age and competence issues that had been hidden, I guarantee you would want to know more about that. And so that's what's frustrating to me as a journalist. It's like, let's just be intellectually honest about things and intellectually fair about things. If it's good for the goose, it has to be good for the gander. And I feel like a lot of people don't feel that way anymore.
You mentioned the third term and the age plays into this. He was asked about it by NBC over the weekend, and his quote was, a lot of people want me to do it. I'm not joking. So, yep. And you've got people like Steve Bannon, and there was somebody in Congress who had maybe put forward a bill that would allow
Andy
him.
Andy Ogles from Tennessee.
Andy yep. Ogles, that's who it was, who yep. who it would give him a third term. So how realistic is all of this nonsense?
Well, I mean, it's not realistic, like, based on the Constitution. I mean, this is what's really hard. What I always say to people about this is, look, the 22nd Amendment is extremely clear. You can be elected for two terms as president, the end. Right. I would urge the 22nd Amendment's not that long. I would urge people go read it. It's not complicated. The issue is it's Donald Trump we're talking about here. And what I always say when people ask me about a third term from Donald Trump is he is constitutionally barred from doing so. He absolutely wants one. So, where there's a will, there's a way? Question mark. You know, I mean, I look, there are three ways that this could happen. Way one, J.D. Vance. I can't imagine any of these things happening, but I'm going to say it. Way one. J.D. Vance, the current vice president, runs for president in 2028 with the express understanding that Donald Trump will be his VP and he will basically be the de facto president. Option two, Donald Trump ignores the 22nd Amendment. The Supreme Court says, you know what? No big deal. He can ignore it. He remains as president. Option three, Donald Trump ignores the 22nd Amendment. The Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. And Donald Trump ignores the Supreme Court. Options two and three that I just laid out are like fundamentally undemocratic. Option three is pretty close to the line of undemocratic. With options two and three, the Constitution is kind of rendered meaningless. And at that point, we're either marching toward authoritarianism or we're at authoritarianism. So like, I don't want to say no. I just want people to read the 22nd Amendment for him to remain in office beyond two terms. It would almost certainly take either ignoring that by the Supreme Court or Donald Trump ignoring a Supreme Court decision affirming the 22nd Amendment. I'm not ready to say that's impossible, but it's a very high bar.
The daily newsletter is called So What? It's now got 30,000 subscribers and continues to grow. It's got a Substack, YouTube, contributes for News Nation. You've seen him on CNN and read him in the Washington Post. Chris Cillizza with us every Monday. We appreciate your time, Chris, and good luck to your Nationals.
Thank you, and thank you guys for the final countdown. That ensures I'll be back next week.
Perfect. Yes. That's all right, guys.
Take care.
Great form of payment is the song you request. Thank you, Chris. It is the Chris and Amy Show here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, Ronj, you were just talking about Fenway Park and Boston. Well, over the weekend, on Saturday, in fact, the two cities, which are often at odds, were very much so in the weather department. In New York City, it was 80 degrees on Saturday, while 186 miles away in Boston, temperatures were in the 30s. The 45-degree temperature gap between Boston and New York City was the widest temperature gap on record between those two cities.
That's astounding. Weather is nuts.
That's crazy.
It is.
I mean, that's pretty crazy for it to be 80 degrees in New York City.
Shouldn't be that much different.
And 30 in Boston?
Yeah. That's, I think, I've never actually never been to Yankee Stadium now that I think about it. I've been to Boston,
really?
Never been to Yankee Stadium.
Did you touch the Green Giant?
I did, and he didn't like it. No.
Oh, hey. I will say this. I was outside yesterday during when the storm rolled in the afternoon, the rain delay storm. I swear it dropped 20 degrees in like 20 minutes. It was 75 degrees. The wind picked up and then suddenly it was 55.
Everybody's been talking about this. I know you've seen it, Amy, because we talked about it. The New York Yankees, over the weekend, some of them were using a newly designed baseball bat.
Oh my gosh,
that had a lot of people are calling it torpedo shaped or pinball shaped. It's different. You know how usually a bat expands as it gets toward the end and then it stays consistent all the way through? Well, an MIT physicist helped them design these new baseball bats, which move the bulk of the wood down.
Mm-hmm.
Where the sweet spot is, and it sort of expands the sweet spot, and then it tapers at the end.
Kind of like when a snake swallows, like,
yeah, kind
of like a rabbit.
Yeah.
It looks like the bat is gassy or swallowed something.
So they were using it on their opener, and everybody was like, is that even legal? Can they do that? Well, Major League Baseball weighed in and said, yes, it is legal.
They look illegal.
And so now there's a very good chance that other teams are going to start to use it. Now, not every player is comfortable with it, and I can't wait to talk to the Gas House Gang about this, which comes up at 12 o'clock. So Tom Ackerman is in with me, and we're gonna discuss these new bats.
They hit 9 home runs. Was it that day or that weekend?
They hit like 15 over the weekend.
They
or
hit
something.
9 in one game.
Yeah. But over the weekend, it was something like 15 or 16 home runs.
The bats look illegal. They look weird.
Apparently,
they're not fatter in the middle. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Everybody in baseball has been talking about these. It's crazy.
This could be the baseball version of the carbon-plated shoes that they kept improving until they stopped and made them illegal, and then everyone had to catch up and use carbon-plated shoes for running. I wonder.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Sorry, for running.
For baseball? Oh, okay.
It changed the running world. They said, okay, you have to stop here, and then every other brand had to get carbon-plate shoes. I wonder if every team is going to move to these bats.
Well, it's going to be a matter of choice if an individual wants to do it, but you can imagine that a lot of people are going to. As we mentioned, the UMSL track team has been or is being dismantled altogether because of cuts at the university. Well, there is an effort to have the track and field team reinstated. Joining us next to talk about it, the captains for both the men's and women's team will be with us next on KMOX.